Tayo Vishnupad Paramahang Subhravadacharya Asatara Sidhu Shri Sriman Hesavan Grey Shalesi Bhakti Vedanta Swairaj Srila Prabhupada Kijai Gaur Premanande Give all glorious to the sound devotees, all glorious to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Long Vishnu Vidai Krishna Prasthavide Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamitanamne Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vacharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya De Sutane Om Agnes Varandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Scha Shri Rupam Sagurjatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakam Svitam Scha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatate Gopesha Gopija Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Prishivana Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Drubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vivacha Padidana Pavane Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shadwaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Nana Shastra Vicharanai Kalpano Sadharma Samstapako Lokanamita karino tribhuvane manyo sharanyakaro Radha Krishna padaravinda bhajana nandena mataliko Bande rupa sanatana raguyaga Shri Gopalako Today we're reading chapter 2, which is entitled, The First Stage is the Devotion. So, Srila Rupa Goswami explains to us that there are three stages of devotional service, known as devotional service in practice, devotional service in ecstasy, and devotional service in pure love of God. So this is more or less, this is what was defined before. Sadhana Bhakti, which includes two stages known as Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti and Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. And then there's Bhava Bhakti and Prema Bhakti. And as mentioned before, there are two qualities of devotional service at the stage of Sadhana Bhakti, which are which means? And Subhadra, which gives forth all auspiciousness. And it was also mentioned that there are different qualities of all auspicious. We've gone over something about, such as it's auspicious for everyone, gives one all happiness, gives all good qualities. And papam, aparabdha karma, bija, kuta, that devotional service destroys all these reactions to sinful activities. Now at the stage of bhava bhakti, there are also two qualities, which are, they only know, There is moksha lagu krit, which is it makes the conception, derives even the conception of liberation. And it's sudurlava, is rarely achieved. And at the stage of prema bhakti, there are two additional qualities, which are sundarananda visheshatma. It gives one unlimited spiritual bliss, and Krishna akarshani. It's the only means by which one can attract Krishna. Now, Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī, he explains that there are different persons who are eligible for Krishna consciousness or devotional service, and they can be classified according to taste. So even beginning with the word Shraddha also implies something about taste, because Shraddha implies, sad means the heart. Can be divided in Sanskrit like that. And da means where we put our heart. So of course, where we put our heart depends upon what our taste is. So faith has a lot to do with taste. Obviously, if we derive pleasure from something, then we develop a taste for it. And if we develop displeasure for something, we develop a distaste for it. So our faith has a lot to do with what we find pleasing, what we find displeasing. People have faith in what's pleasing to them, and they lack faith in things which are displeasing to them. Then, of course, we can understand that there's something called ummukha sukriti. Sukriti means things which are acquired even without any endeavor. For instance, there's agyati sukriti, which can be jnana agyati sukriti, and karma agyati sukriti, and ummukhi agyati sukriti. So, do they have that too in your course? So, ummukhi agyati sukriti means devotional service which is done even without conscious understanding about what we're doing. For instance, someone may receive some prasadam on the street, and by that prasadam they get a little attraction. They think, oh, this tastes good, I'll go to the Sunday feast. So that's called agyati sukriti. And by such agyati sukriti, one may come to the state of faith, that this is actually what they're doing is nice. And then by thinking like that, when they associate with the devotees, and then in the association of devotees, seeing their behavior, hearing the philosophy, one may be convinced to take up the process of bhajana kriya. So here it says, according to taste, so this is more or less the beginning, either through agyati sukriti or through factual faith, actual solidified faith, that this is nice, I should find out more about it from the devotees. Someone may get a book, read the book, and think this makes a lot of sense. Let me find out from those who are actually practicing what this is all about. Or someone may get some prasadam on the street, and even without any real faith, knowledge, come to the temple to find out where they can get some more prasadam. So this is all called agyati sukriti, and both of them lead to the performance of devotional service. So Prabhupada says that practice means employing our senses in some particular type of work. Therefore, devotional service and practice means utilizing our different sensory organs in service to Krishna. But this is a little bit different from ordinary practice, because generally people, if they want to practice some skill, they learn from someone and then they gradually build up that skill. But this, what we're doing is practicing to bring out something that's already there. That Krishna consciousness is already dormant in everyone's heart, but it has to be invoked. Just like dormant within a match is fire, it just has to be struck and then the fire comes out. It's not by practice with the match you create fire. No, it's already there within the match, you just have to appropriately put the match in a certain situation and the fire will come out. So similarly, devotional service and practice is just to bring out the natural love that we have for Krishna, the natural attraction. And Prabhupada gives the example that a child naturally knows how to walk, or at least dormant within the child is the ability to walk. Practicing is just bringing out the walking ability that's already there. Therefore, prescribed methods such as Vaidivaki are just for bringing out our natural proclivity to serve Krishna. So the living entity under the spell of Maya is said to be in an abnormal condition, and that these processes of sadhana bhakti is meant to bring it back, the soul back to its normal condition again. And Prabhupada points out that our temporary and miserable condition due to ignorance is due to vikarma. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma et indriya pritya aplinoti et sadamanye yat atmanoyam asanati kleshida ashadeha. So Maharaj Rishabdev, he says that the living entity, he's forced to do things because of his taste. Priti means also his love or taste for sense gratification. Because in the material world there is some taste. Otherwise, how would the soul become entangled in material life unless there was already some taste in material existence? But the taste is flickering. As we pointed out in the beginning class, it's chapala sukha. It alternates, it's temporary, and it's chapala sukha. It's alternating between enjoying and renunciation. No one can remain in enjoyment perpetually, nor can one remain in renunciation perpetually. So not only is it temporary, but it's also, sometimes it's pleasant, sometimes it's unpleasant. Sometimes we enjoy it, and sometimes we have to renounce it. Therefore, sadhana bhakti means to engage the senses in such a way as to cure the soul of his diseased condition, bring him back to his proper state. Now Prabhupada points out that Narada Muni mentions the sadhana bhakti in Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 1st chapter, verse 32. He says there to King Yudhisthira, "My dear king, one has to fix the mind on Krishna by any means." So this is also Rupa Goswami's verse, "Yena tena prakarena mana Krishna nishevaya." That is called Krishna consciousness. It is the duty of the acharya, the spiritual master, to find the ways and means for his disciple to fix his mind on Krishna. That is the beginning of sadhana bhakti. So this is a very important point. It appears that there are so many rules and regulations, do this, don't do that, so many things. But they're all meant to help us always remember Krishna and never forget him. Somehow or another, fix the mind upon Krishna. And with that in mind, Prabhupada devised a whole program just to fix our mind upon Krishna. Nothing elaborate. Prabhupada wasn't really expecting that we do everything very complicated. We have to have everything, you know, super expensive, and that will make us Krishna conscious, or super elaborate, very complicated. No, Prabhupada wanted everything to be as simple as possible so that we didn't forget Krishna. Of course, due to our Western mentality, sometimes we make things unnecessarily complicated. Generally speaking, the reason why things get complicated is that we have material desire. That's what makes everything complicated. And because we have material desire, therefore we create all, then we try and satisfy our desires. And that's complicated in the material world. You have to get so many facilities, so many things to satisfy your desires, whether gross or subtle. For gross sense gratification, you've got to get a house and a wife and so on. That costs money. And then, even if you don't get into that, for prestige, you have to have so many arrangements, probably even more arrangements, keep up your prestige, your adoration, your distinction, so many things. And then, when it's not satisfied, our sense gratification, we become angry and we fight. Prabhupada mentioned that particular disease of modern society, Kali Yuga, is that the tendency to fight. First of all, everyone's inspired to gratify their senses, gross or subtly, and then when they can't do that, they're ready to fight. And then after we fight, then we become bewildered. We become confused. And therefore, our ideas become covered. Our thinking power becomes covered, and we create so many unnecessary ideas. Diyayato visham pumsam sangasteshu pajayate sangat sanjayate kama kama krodo vijayate krodo bhavati samoha samoha smriti vibramsat smriti bramsat buddhina sho buddhina shat pranashati. First thing is to contemplate the objects. Look around, see what is there to enjoy. That's the first thing that the conditioned soul meditates on. What is out there? She loves me, she loves me not. She loves me, she loves me not. He loves me not. So the first thing the soul is looking for. He is my friend, this person is my enemy. Yesterday they were my friend, today they're my enemy. Tomorrow they may become my friend again. So this creates all the dualities. And when we actually decide to enjoy, then if we get some taste from it, because at the beginning there's always some taste, some material enjoyment, something, then we become greedy for more of the same thing. That was good. Is there anything else? How many more gulab jamuns are there? Then we eat more and more and more, and then finally we reach our satiation point. We become satiated, and we can't eat any more. And if there's not enough, then we more or less next we satiated for a while, and then we go into renunciation, and then the next day we get into sense gratification again. The senses start pushing us again, and then we get into sense gratification. Then the point comes, what? Either we can't eat anymore, for example, because our digestive power has been destroyed, or there's no more glove limits. In any case, then we become frustrated and angry. So as long as lust is supplied, greed increases. And as soon as greed can't be satisfied, then we become angry. And then from anger comes bewilderment to memory. Oh, actually, delusion. Then because of the anger covers us, then we see everything through the frustration. And we make a whole story behind everyone. There's a whole scenario behind why everyone's doing everything, this and that. We get a whole creation going on. And then our memory becomes bewildered. We can't really remember things properly. It all becomes all jumbled up and confused with the scenario that we've just created. We've got to fit everything into it and make it, you know, logical and reasonable and consistent. So then our whole memory becomes jumbled up. And then our whole perspective on life becomes bewildered. And then we're full-fledged conditioned souls in material existence. So, to counteract this, somehow or another, one has to remember Krishna. One has to fix the mind upon Krishna by any means. And this is the whole process of sadhana bhakti. But in order to do that, we have to simplify our lives as much as possible to avoid lust, which leads to greed, which leads to anger, bewilderment, which leads to delusion, bewilderment to memory. And when our intelligence is lost, we can't think of Krishna or anything else in relation to Krishna consciousness. All we see is Maya everywhere. Therefore, there's a practical process called sadhana bhakti. Here, it's consisting of simply getting up early. It doesn't require any money to get up early. Then we have a program, you have to come and see the deities. Chant Hare Krishna. All these things, none of these things cost very much money. Of course, if we have money, then we decorate the deities very nicely. But it doesn't require very much money for ourselves personally. It's a very simple program. You don't have to be a rich person or a poor person. Anyone can perform sadhana bhakti. It's all based on hearing and chanting in the assembly of devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us an authorized program for this purpose, centered around the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So this is our main program, is chanting Hare Krishna. Now, sadhana bhakti, Prabhupada says, has two parts called Raganuga and Vaidhi, or Vaidhi and Raganuga. So Vaidhi means we're following the rules and regulations because that's what is necessary to fix our mind upon Krishna. And Raganuga means that even with, I like doing it. It's not that I'm doing it simply out of duty or out of obligation, but I actually like what I'm doing because it's actually helping me very, I like fixing my mind upon Krishna. So one is more out of obligation, the other one is simply due to spontaneous liking. Not something necessarily very, very elaborate or complicated. And more or less, this is what the rest of the chapter deals with, that all the rules and regulations are all meant to help us always remember Krishna and never forget him. And then there's something here about the social order, but more or less prove from that point of view that even Vanashram, Daivi Vanashram, is simply meant to help us fix the mind upon Krishna and not forget him. This is probably the most important point in the whole nectar devotion. This is where the whole thing centers around. Always remember Krishna and never forget him. It's all the rules and regulations are all meant for that. So if we're confused about this point, that point, then we can just consider whether or not it's going to help me remember Krishna or help me forget him. Very simple. We don't really need a very elaborate testing stone. Now some people, they, for instance, I remember I was involved in the, I was actually involved for a while, in the Spiritual Sky Incense. From the very beginning I was involved one way or the other. Because I was coming around to the movement in 1968. At that time, there was two devotees named Brahmananda, Prabhu and Garbhamuni Prabhu, and they were just starting Spiritual Sky in the 22nd Avenue. Actually, 61st Avenue. And they were trying to sell one of our devotees in our temple. He's the treasure. We were just visiting. I was in Buffalo. So they had these incense burner. They were trying to sell it to the devotee's name is Burjan. Maybe some of you are familiar with him. Burjan Prabhu. Burjan, yeah. So they were trying to sell Burjan this incense burner. So I took a look at it and I said, this is so cheap it's going to melt as soon as you put an incense in it. So Brahmananda picked me up and took me outside. I said, look, Prabhupada trained us up. So I said, well, it doesn't look very good to me. But Burjan, he bought the thing anyhow. And he had the money, so I wouldn't have bought it. So we took it back to Buffalo, put some incense in it, these charcoals. The charcoal caught on fire, and the whole thing burnt up. The whole incense holder caught on fire and burnt along with the charcoal. That was my introduction to Spiritual Sky. And then Prabhupada came to visit Buffalo in 1969. And I was at one meeting he had with Brahmananda, Gargamuni, Rama, and some other devotees. Prabhupada was in the room, and I was there too, and they were describing about their business tactics. And Prabhupada was looking at me, and he saw I was like completely perplexed how they could do such things. Because I was, the type of person that'd say, got extra money from the candy store, I'd bring it back. I couldn't believe it, what they were doing. So Prabhupada looked at me and smiled and said, and started to laugh, and he said, oh, business means cheat. In any case, later on Spiritual Sky developed even more, and it was like getting to be a big thing in our society. So then they asked Prabhupada for a loan from the BBT. This is probably 1970 or something like that, maybe 71. Prabhupada wrote them back and said, he said, you want to expand Spiritual Sky? As far as I remember the letter, he said, I'm not interested in expanding Spiritual Sky. We don't really want to do that. Our business is book distribution. We want to expand the preaching. But in any case, these householder devotees were persistent and they went ahead with it anyhow because they were convinced. And then Prabhupada went along with it. He said, all right, if they want to make money for Krishna, then you have to give at least 50% of the profit. So then Prabhupada went along with it and then gradually became a big business, earning $1 million profit for the movement. And Prabhupada supported them. But at the beginning, he wasn't so much into it at all. He was afraid it would actually take away from the preaching. So this is a case where Prabhupada supported something. One can point out letters, Prabhupada said, Spiritual Sky, how can it be bad? It's making $1 million to the movement. But if we see the history, it wasn't that Prabhupada supported it from the beginning, but he went along with it when they did it in spite of the fact that he made objections to it. And he accepted the results, to be utilized in Krishna's service. So similarly, if we really want to do something, we might be, you know, authorized to do it. But the real program is to make things as simple as possible so we can simply remember Krishna. That's all that's really required. Now, if we're really inspired to make it really complicated, we can do it. The only complicated program, besides deity worship, the Prabhupada really wanted, that he encouraged, was book distribution. Translating books, printing books, distributing books. This is all directly related with Krishna. These activities can utilize the resources of the Western world especially in a big way to always help us remember Krishna and never forget him. And help others remember Krishna and not forget him either. But as far as other big projects, that there were very elaborate projects like the road show. I don't know if anyone knew. You probably heard the taste by Mangalananda. Living in the material world or change of heart.
We saw that.
What's that?
We saw that.
So, that was very popular, Vishnu John and Kirtananda. And they thought it was great, you know. And then Prabhupada saw one of them. He went to one of the shows, and afterwards he said, "This is finished. Can't do this anymore. Dissolve the whole thing." Prabhupada was not impressed by it at all. Didn't like, you know, the devotees, especially, you know, I guess their whole activities were not very strict. Prabhupada just dissolved the whole thing because it wasn't really directly related to Krishna. Maybe been great music from our point of view, you know, nice drama and everything else. Prabhupada didn't like it, so he just put an end to it. Because it didn't fit into that, just fixing your mind upon Krishna. Got into all kinds of other things. And even the press, which was headed at first by a devotee named Advaita, when Prabhupada found out that the devotees of the press were not chanting their rounds or coming to the program, he said, "Dissolve the press." He said, "If they won't come to the program, just dissolve the press." And we can imagine, the press was the heart of our society at that time. That was, Prabhupada said, that was the Brihat Madanga. That was one of the first things that Prabhupada introduced, besides Harinam, going out to the Tompkins Square Park and chanting, or getting the devotees to go out and chant. He started back to Godhead, then pushed Brahmananda to start printing our books, because that was his main activity. And the press was supposed to print the books, our own press, so we had our original press. When Prabhupada heard that the devotees of the press weren't chanting their rounds or following the principles, getting up early and coming to the program, he said, "Just put an end to the press if they won't do it." So that was quite, Prabhupada made it very clear what his emphasis was. That our program is to remember Krishna, not forget him. And that's what the whole sadhana is about. Not that sadhana is kind of like, you know, luxury. For some people have the time, they come to sadhana, hear about Krishna. No, that's the whole basis of our movement. Now other people may not take part in the sadhana. That doesn't mean that they're demons or something, but they can participate by helping to provide the resources by which the Krishna consciousness movement can spread or be maintained. They can help others also. So that's certainly welcome. But we shouldn't forget what the aim of our society is. In other words, not that everyone simply becomes supplying the resources for the society and no one's hearing and chanting about Krishna anymore. That doesn't make any sense. In other words, we shouldn't become one big business enterprise just to make money, or one big theatrical performance or something, just to become popular. Basically, what we want to do is devotees have to hear and chant about Krishna. Very simply. There has to be a program where as much as possible there's kirtan. In the beginning we used to go out 9 hours a day. We used to go out from, we take prasadam usually around 8 o'clock and go out on Harinam at 9 o'clock. And we come back usually around 6 o'clock in the evening. So that's around, and probably half an hour for break. So 8.5 hours a day for Harinam. 6 days a week. Rain, shine, snow, or sleep. That was the program. And that, in some places like Los Angeles, they do that program and then go at night. Of course, probably put it into that too, at some time, so it wasn't very practical. But the program was hearing chanting about Krishna all day long. There weren't so many elaborate buildings, true. There wasn't so much else to do. There wasn't so much elaborate deity worship, but there was certainly a lot of hearing and chanting. And the only thing that changed the Harinam was that Prabhupada saw that more effective than the Harinam was book distribution. So he changed the Harinam into book distribution, that's all. So instead of going at 8 hours or 9 hours a day in Harinam, we did the same thing for book distribution. Because Prabhupada saw that was more effective. But he also emphasized he didn't want to start the Harinam. But now, if we can go out 1 day a week on Harinam, it's considered quite a good temple that can go out 1 day a week. I want to speak of, there's a couple of, you know, a few devotees distributing books, and, you know, it's quite a successful temple. Of course, here in Radhadesh, we're blessed because there are so many visitors coming, and there's certainly, this is such a nice opportunity. There's a lot of our preaching centers around trying to bring people to the temple so they can see the deities. They can hear about Krishna, and they can get some prasadam, and so all these things are so nicely by Radha Gopinath's mercy and by the mercy of the devotees here. So much hearing and chanting is going on already. But not that we shouldn't also do some hearing and chanting ourselves. So we have to keep that in mind. That our business is really to always remember Krishna and never forget him. And that's called Krishna consciousness. And most of us did join this movement to become conscious of Krishna. So that is the program. We may get involved in so many other things, but if it doesn't really help us always remember Krishna and never forget him, then it's not so valuable. So you can read this chapter, of course, and there are some other, you know, that's the major point in the whole chapter, really. Any questions about this? Yes. Yeah.
You were speaking about the simplicity and how we make things complicated. Could you maybe tell how was the... Because it seems nowadays also we invent a lot of things, new mantras and new parts in the programs. In Srila Prabhupada's time, where do you...
Everyone was trying to invent things too. It's just that when Prabhupada put an end to it, people generally would accept it. Sometimes they wouldn't. When Prabhupada was around, there's a lot of Prabhupada says things coming around. There's so much invention. Prabhupada was just trying to, you know, as much as possible, minimize it. I mean, you read the history of ISKCON, it's like, you know, householders versus sannyasis, sannyasis stealing from the temples to devotees, the creation of all kinds of ideologies about, you know, householders or about sannyasis or about the Gaudiya Math and about... So many different, I mean, they preached Prabhupada was God, but we didn't recognize him, some devotees preached like that. So it's a whole history of, you know, people creating things. It wasn't that now we've become creative and before everyone was really super fixed up in Krishna consciousness. No, it was the same thing before. Now many devotees have become older and wiser, so... But it was certainly even more extreme then. That's the tendency. As soon as we're covered by material energy and we act according to our material desires, naturally anger and greed arise, which later on give rise to delusion because our consciousness becomes covered. We can't see things clearly. Then we can't remember things clearly. Then our intelligence is lost and we wind up doing all things outside of Krishna consciousness. Is that right?
But how does Srila Prabhupada basically wanted the programs or which...
Programs? Get up early in the morning, chant Hare Krishna, see the deities, go out, preach, or do some preaching, do something to spread Krishna consciousness. Basically what he wanted. What else do you think he wanted? He wanted us to fix our mind upon Krishna. So what's the easiest way of fixing mind upon Krishna than chanting Hare Krishna? That's what he wanted that as much as possible. And the books are all just about Krishna. Did Prabhupada write any book which wasn't about Krishna? It's all just Krishna. Krishna's name, Krishna's form, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's associates. That's what the books are all about. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted to give this knowledge to others, and they're there in the books. So to go out, why are we going out? To sell the books. To learn it, how to lord it over people, so we can control the world, or to make money. No, we're going out and distributing books principally to give people the opportunity to hear and chant about Krishna themselves. So it's all based upon always hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, and remembering Krishna. There's nothing Prabhupada's program except for that. But he knew, worshiping the deities, he introduced that, but it's Krishna. He introduced, distributing prasadam because it's been offered to Krishna. He introduced art about Krishna, so many paintings, but they're all about Krishna. He didn't ask us to draw Shiva or Brahma, or some lady down the street. He asked us to paint pictures of Krishna. It's just all Krishna. What else was there? Even the dance should be about Krishna. The theater should be about everything about Krishna. Yes.
To practice sadhana bhakti, is it necessary to live in the temple, or one can practice sadhana at home?
Yeah, at home is all right. But Prabhupada used to say when people asked him the same question, was that if you want to do business, it's a lot easier at the stock market than from your home. That's where everyone's doing the business. You can do it at your home. It's possible, but it's just easier in the temple. And the association of devotees who are also doing it. First of all, there may be some devotees who know how to do better than that person does. And therefore, they can learn from those persons. But even if they do it in that temple, their house is all right. But then they should go to the temple regularly and get their association of the devotees so they can learn how to do it better. Give them some inspiration. Get some association, get some good instruction from the devotees. Yes.
Whereas to what extent is Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti practiced in this way?
It's all basically Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti. If that's what the platform we're on. The same thing what we're doing is Vaidhi turns into Raghunuga when we get a taste for it. But as far as like Kushamala Manjali was said by Raghunath Das Goswami, there's a book on Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti. It's not necessary. Because our basic program is, going out and distributing books, for instance, for doing Harinam. It's all based upon Raghunuga. There's no, it's all very spontaneous. There's the Super Soul, there's you, and he's telling you what to do. And you're doing it out of love for him. Voluntarily, that's called Raghunuga. Now, at the beginning, we may not be so inspired to go out. We do it because they asked us to go out. But if we're out distributing books, and we like doing it, and we actually feel like we're just an instrument for the Super Soul, that's called Raghunuga. There's no higher platform than that, at least now in the material world. It's the same mood as the gopis. That's why one time Rameswar Prabhu asked Prabhupada if the devotees going out and distributing these books is just like the gopis trying to bring other gopis to Krishna. And Prabhupada said, yes, you understood properly. That's the mood of preaching. Yes.
This is a question speaking about that bhakti is there lying dormant in everyone's heart, and by striking a match, just like fire is dormant in the match comes out. And you said Prabhupada has given the example of child walking. He has abilities innate or dormant within him, but it's just being brought out. So this makes me want to know about the different abilities of men or devotees that we have, or of people, that other things we learn, like how to ride a bike, or play a mridanga, or recite a Bhagavad Gita shloka, or cook a waffle. these are all abilities that are they inside of us? Is Krishna giving the ability, or we have to take them from outside and learn them? How do these abilities manifest? Are they internal and manifesting? Maybe learn Bhagavad Gita slokas in past lives.
No, obviously whatever we've done in the past, we get the facility to do in the present. His body is a machine. Brahm, I think, or maybe it was Beethoven, 3 or 4 years old, was composing. Mozart. He was composing concerts. Obviously, it was from past lives. So this body is a product of our past lives, and along with abilities. Some people have more, and some people less. If you're born in Siddhaloka, you have all the mystic powers from birth. So these powers are not our powers. These things are given by the material energy to us due to our past activities. Now the soul has ability too. It has 50 qualities in minute quantity. So we can read about that in Nectar Devotion too. But even when we go back to the spiritual world, still we have to learn from the devotees there. That's an eternal process. No one ever thinks they're perfect there. Everyone's learning from the other devotees. Especially when we go back, we'll be kind of newcomers. So we have to learn a few things. I mean, their skills there are quite refined. So we do have a few things to learn. The 64 arts you can read about. Those we may know inherently somewhat, but to actually get them to the refinement where they're at now, after all, we've been gone there for a few 100 trillion, billion, quadrillion lifetimes of Brahma since we've been back there. Yes. Well, relatively newcomers. What's that? Yeah. We've been gone for a long time. For a long time. There's some time. There's something there. Well, we see an example from Brihadbhagavatamrita. Yeah, Gopakumara. That there is some differentiation when he went to Vaikuntha. Some people were considered newcomers, other people were considered to be there for longer. So there was some differentiation. What's that?
Interesting.
Yeah. Because when Gokumar finally reached Goloka Vrindavan, then immediately he was put into the family of, I guess, Sudam. He became a brother of Sudam is Srimati Radharani's brother. So he came from his family, from Srimati Radharani's side of the family. I guess it's Sridam. Sridam. So Sridam, he came from Sridam's family. He's, I guess, related to Srimati Radharani. Therefore, he became very intimate. He was a Priya Narmasaka. So Krishna immediately identified himself with Gopakumara, with that family. But these things are inconceivable. Anything else? Yes. What?
How to overcome the fear of surrender.
Fear of surrender. I guess that's why we're in the association of devotees. We see that those who are most surrendered are the happiest, and we think, well, what's there to be afraid of? We saw those who are most surrendered are the most miserable. We think, well, maybe it's not for me. So in the association of devotees, by hearing, understanding properly, then with knowledge, with proper understanding, then our fear will go away. Isn't that right? I mean, most people when they see us on the street, some people may be very afraid, you know, thinking, they want to avoid us. Thinking, oh my God, what are these people into? But then if they get to know the devotees, they think, well, actually they're pretty nice. They're pretty normal people. They're not completely crazy. So some of their fears go away just by associating with the devotees. course, maybe when they associate with the devotees don't act properly. Maybe they develop even more fears. But generally, if the devotees are acting according to normal Vaishnava behavior, then people will become less fearful. Yes.
You were speaking, Maharaj, you were speaking about Agyata Sukriti, how it brings the conditioned soul in contact with the Vaishnavas. And I wanted to ask if always there must be some previous punya in order to come in contact with the devotees and appreciate.
Generally there should be, but sometimes not. Generally, Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī says it's a continuum over many lifetimes. But still, the devotees go out, they can, please take a book. You know, they go out, chant Hare Krishna. Somehow or another, they're trying to introduce people to Krishna consciousness. So sometimes, by the association of devotees, by the mercy of the devotee, someone will begin to take up the process.
What determines who is going to meet the devotee? Or who determines?
Krishna is sending prati, everyone. You go out on the street, there's billions of people, but prati everywhere, the devotees are going. Krishna makes the arrangements. He's the coordinator.
So can we say that those who meet that devotee are actually deserving to meet him?
Not necessarily.